I can feel him deep within. My God is real. Yes, sir. Real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My saying, my God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me and you is like pure just how you felt. Think about this. When Jesus took your sins away, but since that day, yes, since that hour, God sing it out to him. Raise your hands. Amen. God is real. Real in my soul. My God is real. For he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God, in my soul. Praise the Lord. I can hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's change over the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light, pour out your power in love as we sing. Holy, 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 high. power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. You come to see the Lord tonight? Or did you just come to fellowship and see a person? No, you come to see the Lord tonight, I hope. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back. Thank all the brothers for doing an absolute wonderful job this weekend. Good to have a group of ministers that you can depend on and know that they know the Word of God and they know how to bring it. So we appreciate Brother Luis and Brother Aaron and Brother Bob for what they did this weekend while we were gone. We had a real good time at Brother Richard Wilson's. Good to get back in fellowship with them. He's a wonderful brother in the Lord, and we've always enjoyed his fellowship. And his son Stephen's coming here the end of September, the last weekend of September, so he'll be here with us for that weekend. So good to be back. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Job. I don't know why we're going to do Job. It just come up this way. No, what I was thinking about the other day, we started on the Azusa Street, or the Pentecostal Holy Ghost falling on the day of Pentecost in 1906. But I kept going back that week and praying about what to speak at Brother Richard's, and then this thought came on my heart. We're going to talk about justification, but we're going to make sure that we remember that justification is not, it is a one act. It is a one, God's going to forgive you of your sins, and then you have the sins again, and then you have sanctification, then you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if we can't believe that all of our sins are forgiven, then we got a problem. Amen? And we sin every day. So there's the paradox. Brother Ram said we sin every day because we're born in sin. Amen? We can't help that Adamic nature being attached to our spirit, but out of our soul, gone, just as God is. So we're going to speak tonight on the just, not shall, the just will live by faith. We're a faith group of people. We believe things we can't see. We believe things we've never seen in our life, which would have been the day of Calvary or the day of the resurrection. We were not there personally to look at it with our eyes, but we were there with him. And so we are identified. When we receive the new birth, you're identified with that. You're identified with hanging on the cross because he thought of you while he was there. He died for you and me. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. Amen. So that he could be the justifier. There's got to come to a point that has to be one righteous judge. And we'll read that last scripture we read tonight. Paul, he's coming to the end of his road. And he said, Jesus Christ, the righteous judge. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick. Be with Sister June, Lord. Continue helping her and raising her up, Lord. Be with, Lord, our friend from a long time ago, Dorcas Williams. Her daughter is going through some things, same things that Hannah went through, Lord. And we pray that you'd be with her. She called and wanted us to make a special prayer through Sister Joyce, Lord. I pray that you'd bless that situation, Lord. And you're the only one that can do that, Lord. You're the only one that can take somebody that's bound by sin and bound by drugs and alcohol, and you're the only one that can set them free. And I pray that you'll do that, Father. Also, our cousin, Tina Crocker, her daughter comes today and was visiting with us and said she's doing better. But, Lord, she only weighs like 110 pounds, a little small, frail girl that they don't really know what's wrong with her. And we pray, Lord, that the great physician will take over and that you know exactly before the foundation of the world what was wrong with her. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bring it to the doctor's attention and bring it to their attention so that they can maybe give her some medication or something, Lord, that you give. We believe in healing, Lord, but we believe also that you put things in this earth for us to take, Lord, to help with the healing process. Father, be with us as a church group, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us as we continue down our life's highway, Lord, and our paths. We pray that you'd be with each one, Father. Forgive us of our sins. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Job 25. Let's read. Let me tell you something. I've been reading on Smith Wigglesworth because I've been speaking to myself. I've been preaching myself a sermon of the Azusa Street Pentecost, how that started. We always say Azusa Street, 1906, and then we just kind of leave it there. My, what a powerful thing it was. I mean, it struck the world. The baptism of the Holy Ghost struck the world. People would walk into church, and 2 minutes later, they said, would be slain in the spirit. Just walking in because they come off the street. There was so much power in that church. Where is that power now? It should be greater now. Amen? Should be greater now than it was then. And let's see where it comes from. Smith Wigglesworth said, the Bible is the Word of God, supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in valor, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. Whole word's inspired. Read it through. Write it down. Pray it in. Work it out. Then pass it on. So we're going to read it right now. Job 25 now. Brother Bob's been speaking out of the book of Job. And let's look. Now, we're going to look today and we're going to see that this may take us down a little different path than you may be thinking now. So Job is looking. Remember, he's looking for a redeemer. He's looking. He's looking for answers to the questions: is why are my children gone? Why am I on an ash heap? Why has my wife turned against me? Why? He's asking these questions, and here's one question. He says, "How then can man be justified with God?" Now, remember, when we get to the end of the book, we are.
Amen. That's right.
Right. We are, but with his revelation at the time in the Old Testament. He's made all the sacrifices. He's done everything he's supposed to do. Because remember, you were not ever justified in the sight of God in the Old Testament.
Right.
You were covered. All right, you were covered to Calvary, and then that took care of it. But at the moment in time, Job is saying, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Every one of us have been born of a woman. The Brother Brown said born between Satan and Eve. So Job asked a question, how then can man be justified with God? Because remember, justified means what? Righteous. That means you're just. You're just as righteous as God is if you've been justified. Job couldn't find that. Now, he found his Redeemer. He found the person that was going to do it for him, but he never came to that justification. But you and I can. You and I don't have to ask that question anymore. I know how I can be justified with God. I know that my first birth did not make me clean. Only my second birth is what made me clean. All right, we're going to read Habakkuk 2, and then we'll sit down. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Now, remember, there's a vision, and you and I have got to get a hold of that vision and then make it real. Because if there was a vision, as we preached many years ago in Jamaica, Brother Brown had a vision of people going up and down the mountain and a vision of Jamaica on fire and all these different things. And I preached a sermon. I told him, I said, you got to get into that vision.
Right. Amen.
You were seen of a prophet. There were people seen of a prophet doing these things. I said, you got to get into it and make it manifest, because if he saw it and it come from the mind of God, it has to come to pass. So we have been given a vision beyond any vision anybody's ever been given. Brother Branham went all the way to the past the curtain of time, into the curtain of time, and went all the way into the future home in a vision. But now we got to fulfill those parts of those visions. So for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So we have a vision for an appointed time today. But at the end, watch, it shall speak. By thy words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. My Habakkuk, it's been like 4,800 years since Habakkuk spoke this. We're tarrying for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. We might have to tarry, but it won't. Then the summation of that is, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. How many people have you seen try to justify themselves? Don't ever try to justify yourself, because you cannot do it. There is no way in the world you can justify yourself. But the just shall live, look, by his faith. You may be seated in the Lord. Adds blessings to the reading of the word. Now we're going to get into something here that may be a little different than what you saw. Brother Bob touched on it not too long ago on the seals, about the mystery of iniquity. But we're going to talk about it right here. Go to Romans 3, verse 23. And watch now, Paul is now, he's on the other end of Job. Job's over here, said, look, how can a man be justified? How can a man that's born of a woman be clean? Romans 3, Paul says the same thing. For what? All have sinned. All, let's say all together, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's nobody that came this way and others come this way. Hello, somebody. All right? Only in the mind of God was there a group of people that made it up here than down here. Genesis 1:26, man. It is, that man is different. But God saw it would be different because we were in the mind of God and we received it down here, and he knew that people like Adolf Hitler and different ones wouldn't make it, right? But we've all got to come the same way. We've all got to come born in sin. We all got to come shaping iniquity. We all have here that we come here speaking lies. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short. This is Paul, a prophet, a church age messenger. He includes himself in that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right. Now, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in who? Paul? No, Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a perpetuation through what? Here we go again. The just shall live by faith. No, the just will live by faith. If we're going to make it out of here, we got to have faith for a body change. We got to have faith for a rapture. Amen. And it's a different kind of faith, I'm telling you. Remember, Brother Bradham, I read you many times. He said, faith alone won't do it. Because we got to put that faith into action. We got to put that faith into works. Whom God has set forth to be a perpetuation through faith in his blood. Sorry, Brother Luis. To declare his righteousness, not yours. His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. I read this not too long ago. Remember, you cannot be forgiven for sins that you haven't done yet. Don't ask forgiveness for something you're going to do tomorrow. No, you got to wait till tomorrow. If not, you're a Catholicism. That's what they do. That's what the mob does. They say, oh, I'm going to kill 14 people tomorrow. And they say, okay, say 14 Hail Marys and give me $25,000, and you're absolved. Well, that's not the way God works. You're only forget. Listen, grace is not for the future. Grace is for your past. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. Amen. Grace is for your past. Amen. It is not for your future. The remission of sins are for your past. Because remember, tomorrow we're going to sin. According to the word of God, tomorrow you're going to sin. You're going to wake up depending on eating. You're going to wake up, somebody's going to cut you off in the road. Your boss is going to be a little bit mean to you. Your wife's going to say something a little sideways. Have I hit anybody yet? Okay, thank you, Brother Boyd. Maybe all them other ones are perfect. So, through the forbearance of God, so God is long-suffering. He knows we're going to do this. He knows every move we're going to make, everything we've already done, and everything that we're going to do. He already knows that. But we have to remember that he is all-sufficient with a plan before we got here, knowing what we would do. He had something there, a provision to get us out. Slow down. Yes, okay. Now watch what Paul says. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Listen, folks, we got to find his righteousness first. I know this is elementary, but it's getting somewhere. But we got to find his righteousness. Don't look at yours. Don't look at your neighbor's. You look at his righteousness. He says we're perfect. He says we've already made it. He says we're the virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. He said we're without spot and without wrinkle. He's already said that. When are we going to connect to that and believe it? That's what I said. Believe. You're going to have faith. You will have faith. And you will live by faith. Because right now, at the point you're standing today, I know what's running through some of you's mind and mine too. I did this yesterday. I did this the day before. I did this last week. If you're not nodding your head, then pray for me. Brother John, pray for me, okay? Okay, brother. Pray for you too. Good to see you, buddy. So whose righteousness are we going to declare? Ours? His. All right? Now, under baby form, and when we first get justified, you've got to believe that the righteousness of God is what takes your sins away. Amen. And puts them somewhere he can't even find them himself. Right. You've got to believe that. Right. If not, you're not justified. Right. You've got to really believe that. Amen. Now, watch. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. That he might be just. Well, we know he is. And the justifier. You got to have a justifier. You got to have a judge sitting on the bench. Because if you let the defense run the court, they're always going to win. Right? If you let the prosecution run the court, they're always going to win. You got to have a judge standing in the middle to judge right from wrong. And remember, God doesn't need counsel. Maybe some judges need counsel or judges down here need books or they need previous laws or previous ways this case was handled. But God doesn't need that. Right. He's a righteous judge. Amen. So that means he does things right. And he's the justifier of him, now watch, which believeth in Jesus. Yeah, right. Too simple. But he's the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. All right, Paul, where is boasting then? It's excluded. You can't boast. You can't say I didn't do it because you know you did. But the righteous judge can take and he can wipe your record off. Yeah. Right. Amen? Right. Amen? By what law? Of works? Nope. But by the law, here we go again, by the law of faith, the just will live by faith. Therefore, here's Paul. He brings it all together. Therefore, we conclude, Paul's preaching, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen. Praise God. Because the law condemns you every time. That's what condemns us now. What takes us to court now if we have to go to court? What takes us to court? You did something wrong. They aren't going to call me tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning and bring me to court for a driving violation, and I ain't even got my car yet. Right. The only time you get in the courtroom is when you've done something. Yeah. Or you got to be a witness. Right. So we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, I was thinking, this is where we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit and go on what Brother Bob was talking about the other day, a couple weeks ago maybe. Let's turn to Revelation 6, verse 1. Now, we know that when we come to a realization that we're lost and we ask God to forgive us, there's a point there to where God forgives you your sins, but it doesn't take away the one that made you sin. Everybody with me? But now there is a time and a place where we're to be justified by the statue of a perfect man. That it works into your spirit realm and your memory, reason, conscious affection, and imagination. What did Paul say do? Cast out reasoning. Yeah. Cast out. Right. All right? Because, see, when we get to Luke, in sanctification, the unclean spirit goes out. That's exactly right. He's talking about your soul. Yes. Right. But when that soul's sealed in, God's going to start working on the outside guy. So then that same set of demons... It's going to bombard your spirit realm because they can't get in your soul. Right. Satan can't get in your soul because, look, Satan can't go anywhere. There's eternity.
Amen.
Amen. He cannot get in anywhere that's eternal. That's his problem. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be above God. He wants to be over here. Do you know he was perfect? God made him perfect. God made him without sin. Come on. He said, I've made you perfect. Until what? Iniquity was found in your heart. He knew what Satan would do, but Satan couldn't help himself. Let's read this right here. Now we know, we're looking here at the mystery of iniquity, but let's remember that the first seal also shows one God. Now, to see that, you've got to see the mystery of iniquity. You've got to see where that iniquity's at.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
That's why Brother Ram could say, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. All right? Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts. Now, we know which one did that. It was the lion, L-I-O-N. So there was a ministry loosed in the first three church ages. We've already been through this. But just a background, just a minute. I want you to see something. There was a ministry loosed first because the lion, Brother Branham had the book. Who had the book? The lamb had the book. The perfect one had the book. The righteous one had the book. The righteous judge had the book. And when he had the book, and then the voice was transferred to John. Come on, somebody. The voice, the thunder is the voice of God. When that voice come and said, John, come and see. And watch. And I saw. That's a very short part, but that's very profound. And I saw. When I had a revelation of where that sucker was at, he had to ride away from me because there stood the justifier right there in the pulpit that night. Brother Bram said, here stands a lamb. Does John not type the bride?
Yeah.
John typed the bride right here too.
Right.
And I saw. Can we change that just a little bit? And when I believe, when I got revelation, behold a white horse, what? Another spirit.
Right.
Another spirit. Remember, there's no iniquity in God. Satan had iniquity in him, so there's no iniquity in God. So if you say iniquity, you know where it's at. And if you're so full of God, Satan's got to leave you. That's what we've got to work on. When we get to the seals, coming up in just a little while, when we get in past Azusa Street and get into where Brother Brandon brings his message, we're going to see that he was standing there. Now, you're going to swallow a minute. Brother Branham stood there that night justified.
Yes.
Before God. Or he wouldn't have said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand.
Right.
And there goes a wild horse rider.
Yes.
The mystery of iniquity was, it was still in him.
Right.
Oh, don't get quiet. Brother Bram said, he said before he preached it, he said, I'd have made a horrible mistake.
Yeah.
I would have preached my old notes, which made that guy right there the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And that would have been law because he was a prophet.
Uh-huh.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
He said, I'd have made a horrible mistake. So what was going away from him? False doctrine or iniquity. And there was the mystery that is in me and you until we see it right away from us.
Right.
We've got to see that thing leave us. And not come back.
Hallelujah.
We got to see it leave. We got to see what? Joy, peace, come in. We got to see virtue, knowledge, temperance come in. And, you know, to replace that, something's got to leave.
Amen.
In the book of Luke, it says what? The unclean spirit goes out, brings seven more back, and makes you worse if you don't fill it with something. So the devil's not just going to leave and say, sorry to interrupt your program. I'm not ever coming back. No, no, no. He's going to get smarter. He's going to get more hidden because he was hiding. He hides himself in doctrine. He hides himself in doctrine. And then what you and I do is when we take that and accept that doctrine, we become that doctrine. And if it's false, we become the devil. There's nothing false in God.
Amen.
We'll get to that in just a minute. I want you to see something. If we don't, we'll get to it Sunday. So when the Lamb opened one of the seals, now here's the Lamb, here's the judge, here's the righteous one. The justifier was standing there. But remember, we're going to get into something. You might agree with me, but it's something I saw today that I want to include in this. But let's get through this and just remember what I just said. Satan is somewhere all the time. If you're born again, he can't be in your soul. But he can be in your spirit realm, bombarding you every day. Pray for me. If he doesn't, you, I'm going to send you some of mine. But what did one of the four beasts say? It said, John, come and what? No, come and understand. He saw what was riding off, but he didn't understand what that was. The bride now has an understanding of the mystery of iniquity of what that was. It took a prophet to say, no, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's Satan. That was a mystery there that was locked up from the foundation of the world. Many people have preached this different, like Brother Brown did, the Mighty Conqueror and all the different things. But a white horse, there was a doctrine went out, and it was false. And what did it do? It anointed the people. Because we're going to get into this in just a little bit about Azusa Street. I've been reading today. I'm going to read some more. Azusa Street, Brother Brown said, the Holy Ghost himself came on a day of Azusa Street. Amen? No mention of the age. I started on it last Sunday, or last week, right? No mention of the age. Brother Brown said, the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism.
Amen.
And they were slain in the power of the Spirit for 10 to 15 years. They had church service 3 days continuous. So much so the neighbors got mad and called the police, and I think one of the policemen got converted when he went to talk to them. You see how the power of God was during that time. But remember, here's my point. They were Trinitarians. So that part of them was false.
Amen.
That's the mystery of iniquity that had to be broke in the end time to show all those loose ends that were back in those ages that, yeah, they had truth. Luther had truth. Wesley had truth. Pentecostals had truth. They had the Holy Ghost come himself in Parham and Daddy Seymour and all those different ones. And even in sisters.
Right.
Sorry about that. And I know you say, well, you got to go by history. There was one lady, she was the one that got Daddy Seymour started. It was through a sister. But you get quiet on me. That's okay. I know women ain't supposed to preach. And the Bible says they ain't supposed to preach. Right. That's why Brother Branham hammered on it so much. Because
right.
They got away from that. They got into the emotional part.
Right.
And that's why he had to bring them back to center. Well, he brought some back. Some stayed out there.
Right.
All right? But God can use a Holy Ghost-filled sister.
Yeah.
That's why you sisters come and pray with other sisters. You're bringing your Holy Ghost. You're not just bringing your femininity. You're bringing your Holy Ghost. That's connected to your femininity. That can what? As Brother Ram said, what did that sister do? That sister was a mother. The sister had a baby that was sick. She was a mother. She could what? Sympathize and connect her Holy Ghost with her. And Brother Ram didn't have to touch that baby. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say ministers lay hands on the sick. I ain't preaching something false here.
No.
Sisters have the Holy Ghost, and if they do, they've got power.
Right.
They've got a position, but they have power
right.
in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
All right? Don't get scared. It's all right. You sisters have the Holy Ghost, don't you? It can't be It can't be different than mine and your and the brothers. It just has a position, though. It's in a female body. So that female body that fell way back over yonder had to come under a law, or had to come under what? Headship. But that's what the bride is. She has to come under headship. Each one of us are feminine in the body of Christ. But we have a Holy Ghost that powers every one of us. If you'll let it out. As I said before, let it work. Brother, I've never said a word about when a sister stand up and speak in tongues. That's part of the body. But he told him, he said, just don't preach, sisters. You got your own what? Position. But he never blasted one sister for standing up and prophesying and one standing up and giving interpretation. He said, just don't preach. He didn't say, no, you're not supposed to do that. He said, no, you're not supposed to preach. And we know why, because of the position that was in the come from the garden. Because listen, when we get into heaven, your sisters are going to have just as much power. Listen, your body's got to be changed just like our men's body's got to be changed.
Right.
Hello?
That's right.
Think about that. But we see that there was a false ministry loosed. But where did it come out of? It come out of what John saw. What was loosed. When that seal was opened, there was something in there that was false that had to go.
Right.
All right? So God is beginning to justify his bride.
Amen.
He's beginning to justify, not his church, his bride.
Right. Amen.
So let's look here just a second. We already talked about the line ministry. Listen to this. Brother Brown was praying. He said, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. And freely from our heart. Can you do this? Can you do that? I asked him up at Brother Richard's church, and only a couple people raised their hand. Can you really pray for your enemies? When somebody despitefully uses you, you get on your knees and pray for their soul.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said to get in the kingdom, you got to be able to do that.
Amen.
And freely from our heart. Listen, this is not Brother Branham adding these words. Because you could have just said it from our heart. But watch, it changes the whole thing. Freely from your heart. Oh, I forgive him because Brother Bob preached Sunday and I'm supposed to forgive him because he said to. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You're going to have coals heat back on your head.
Amen.
You got to freely from your heart, from your soul. We forgive everyone who has trespassed against us. Look, that our sins may be blotted out. Think of that. You praying for somebody that despitefully uses you gets your sins forgiven. You know the Bible tells us that if you come up in here have prayer and you get healed, that even your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Even your that's Bible. I don't need a quote. That's Bible. The Bible says you come praying and believing that if you get healed, your sins are going to be forgiven. Oh, my, what a mighty God we serve. What, let's open the book so we can read this thing sometime.
Amen.
That our sins may be blotted out. Take our iniquity and bury it in the sea of forgetfulness of thy blood. 2 Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. We're seeing that now. And that man of sin, all right, be revealed or made known, the son of perdition. Look, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God. Now listen, Satan didn't get Eve to doubt there was a God. Satan didn't get Eve to doubt what God said.
Right.
He interpreted it to her so she'd take it a different way from the pulpit. From the pulpit.
Right.
Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And until that white horse rider rode off, that's what was bound up in that seal. Right? There was a ministry loosed. It was a false one, but it came out of the truth. It had that. You got to have truth first. You can't have false first. False is what? False is the opposite of truth, so truth has to be here first. You and I should walk in the truth. That way we don't have to walk in the false. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul blasted this thing, his whole sermon, everything. The things I would not, I do. We'd have a righteous judge. Remember all these things I'm telling you. They're going to come in as grievous wolves. They're going to come in and lead silly women away. This whole thing, Paul's telling them. He said, now remember, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. He was revealed in this time right here. We know where Satan's seat is. They didn't know where Satan's seat was. Oh, they thought it was in the bar rooms or the prostitute places or people that didn't come to church. No, it's in church. Hello? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul, in the first church age, only he who now letteth will let, who? Brother Brown said, he, God. He's going to let this happen. Until he, the bride, he said, Brother Brown said, be taken out of the way. And then, listen, when the Gentile door is shut, when he goes to the Jews, Satan is going to be on his throne in the Gentile kingdom. And the Jewish kingdom, that's not the 144,000. He's going to rule the whole world, folks. Folks, he's not going to be, well, now the whole nation of Jews. No, it ain't going to be the whole nation of Jews. Only 144,002 are going to not be deceived. Everybody else is going to be deceived. Yes, right. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What are we looking at right now? This is the coming of the Lord. Amen. This is it. We are the coming of the Lord. That's why that he'll be destroyed by the bride one day in the Gentile church age. Right. Through who? Through his bride. So iniquity means unrighteousness or the condition of without law, either because you're ignorant of it or because you violate it. Brother Brown said in Kentucky terms, he said iniquity is knowing to do better and you go ahead and do it anyway. Or knowing you should do it, and you don't do it. You see, we fall in iniquity if we say, well, we don't have to go to church.
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We fall into iniquity. There's a demon that causes you to keep from going to church. And where is it? It's not in the preacher. It's not the song leader. It's not the guy that's supposed to be sitting beside of you in the pew. It's in you. So either because you're ignorant of it or because you're violating it. In other words, you know to do better and you do it anyway. All right, so now watch. Here's the part I want you to, if we get to nothing else, we'll slow down right here, okay? This is what the Lord kind of backed me up on the show. I didn't preach this at Brother Richard's. I just saw this afternoon. So who is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is God in human flesh living among humans. All right, now y'all quit looking up here. Stop that business. But, so the Son of Man is God in human flesh. And as I think y'all had the question at the last minister's meeting about was Jesus all God or whatever happened to the body or, you know. Let's just stop the confusion. I come into this world the way you're looking at me now. Of course, I wasn't but about that big. From an act between my mother and my father that had natural sperm and natural egg. Everybody with me? That's a call to sex act. Sorry. But that's how we all come. Everybody come the same way. I don't care if it's in vitro or whatever. Had to take this to put this right here. All right? So now what happened with Mary? Even Brother Branham had to tell us, because most denominations believe that Mary dropped an egg and God just produced a sperm and or germ, let's say that, and put it in, right? But Brother Branham said, no. He said, see what you would have God doing. See, these are all these great mysteries that to me, it pieces all the puzzle together. Amen. It pieces the puzzle together. It makes it so clear that Mary says, be it unto me according to thy word. God created a germ. So who did that germ come from? Did it come from a human man? Huh? Did it come from Joseph? Just like your daddy and your mama? Even with Mary, he made it so supernatural till he produced the egg also. So that body, whether you believe it or not, was God.
Right. Amen. Amen.
It was a human. It had a human. It had human characteristics.
Yes, sir.
I just, Amen. Folks, I just believe in the Garden of Eden, God had something in there. That was his theophany that he talked to Adam and Eve with. He can't change from that.
Right.
He came down here to put flesh on, to die for me and you that's got flesh on us.
Right.
Amen. That's what he did. But he didn't come through an act. He come from what? Spoken word creation. So yes, the body was human. The body got old.
Amen.
But it came from God. And it was the possession of God, because what did he do on the day of the resurrection? He didn't go get him another one. He thought so much of that when he went and picked it up, as bad as it was. It'd been beat to a pulp. And when that body stepped up out of that grave, he didn't look like dog meat then. No. He might have still had the scars. He might have still had the side. But he didn't look like he'd been mutilated and run through a grinder. It changed that body. So the Son of Man lived among humans. He's the true Superman.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to look for a Superman, he's the true Superman.
Right.
He came from another world to this world by an act of faith, not conception between a man and a woman. He spoke it. It happened. Yes, it went through the law of planting a seed. Yes, he went through the law that it had to come out of the womb. All that had to do was for me and you, though.
Right.
He had to be our brother. So the Son of Man is our brother.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Now the Son of God is a tad bit different. Because now he's living in humans.
Right.
When he was the Son of Man, he wasn't living in humans.
Right.
Amen.
You with me? He was living among humans, saving those people, knowing he could get back in them to save them. But now here's my point. Let's see if you can. You all amen, and let's see if you amen this. So the Son of Man, now watch him in the Bible. He's not very nice. Oh, come on, people. You read your Bible, don't you? He said, I didn't come to bring peace. But a sword. He said, I'm going to make mother against father, or mother against daughter, father against son.
Amen.
Who is my family? Didn't even call his mother. Called a woman. Beat a bunch of people out of a church one time. Sat there and went, all right, when I get done this and I tie it down at the end, y'all going to get a beating. Amen. That was the Son of Man.
Right.
Now, we know the Son of God was inside there, but look at the dispensation. Watch how we're going to change in that dispensation in just a few minutes. Everybody with me?
Amen.
All right? So the Son of Man, sure, he said, Father, the only thing he ever said really positive was Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Amen.
He was always calling them snakes, vipers, prostitutes.
Right.
Nobody got saved under his ministry.
Yeah.
Not while he was here, brothers.
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Oh, the thief on the cross got eternal life for his testimony.
Right.
But that wasn't a new birth. That wasn't his children.
Right.
There were no children born until Jesus left. Because that's where that comes from. Living in humans, he had to leave. I've got to go away, he said. But I'm going to send you what? I'm going to send you a sword. I'm going to send you a comforter.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to put this thing back together in human beings.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it by myself. Though I'm God Almighty. I'm going to do it through human beings. I'm going to live in them. So now the Son of Man is supposed to come back in the end time. Let's see if you amen this. So we're talking about in the church ages, he was the Son of God. All right? Real quick. Slow down. He was the Son of God. Now remember, Brother Ram said that. Son of Man on earth. Son of God through the church ages. What? God living in human people, showing and extending grace.
Right. Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Through people.
Right. Yes.
Listen. Why didn't Paul on the road to Damascus, if everybody wants to talk about this seed laying in somebody and being dormant and all, whatever, that's just not true. When are we going to, I was talking to somebody yesterday, when are we going to get to start realizing that Brother Branham said a lot of things that men take wrong?
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
Every false doctrine in this message didn't come from John J. Lake or John G. Lake.
Right.
Didn't come from Billy Graham.
Right. Nope.
It came from what Brother Branham said. That's why he said, rapture and faith lays in, not on. Rapture and faith lays in those books and tapes. You got to have a revelation. How are you going to have a revelation when Jesus stood there and said, you got to eat my body before you can get to heaven?
Amen.
Didn't he stand and say that? Listen, that's a direct quote from God himself. From an eternal word that you can't change. So when are we going to start getting the revelation behind what the prophet of God said? I've always told you, it's the essence of this message is going to change us, not the written letter. Paul said the letter killeth.
Amen.
The letter's going to kill us. If we keep reading it, you can get a polygamy. Come on, somebody. Where do you think that doctrine came from?
That's right.
Two souls. Seven thunders.
Amen.
Perugia. No Holy Ghost until you get way up yonder. Where'd that come from? Off the books and tapes.
Amen.
And you can find a direct quote. That's what me and the brother was talking about. Like Brother Dale always said, he said, you give me a quote. He said, a few minutes later, I'll find you one that looks like. I said, look like. It contradicted each other.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
That's why these people are leaving the message. They ain't got any Holy Ghost at all. They just have an anointing that can't put the three or four quotes together.
Amen.
We've had a ministry in this church that puts the quotes together and then gives it clarity.
Amen.
And that's what we're living off of. The body word of the Son of Man. As Brother Ram tells us. Not a man's idea. So now, if the Son of Man lived among humans, and he was God. He was God in body, spirit, and soul. Everybody agree with me? Body, spirit, and soul. He didn't have another body from a man and a woman. He didn't have another spirit from somebody else. Like, we have a spiritual part of us that was brought on to us by our parents, grandparents. Hello? You know what Brother Brown said? Right? If I walk like this, then my grandpa walked like this, you know, through your DNA. Well, God didn't have a DNA. He's his own DNA. That's why he's having to change us from the inside out. And I'm going to say this real, real slow. He can't change us from the outside in. It's his law.
Amen.
It's his law as you came the way you're supposed to come. Now, really, you didn't, but you came the way God saw you were supposed to come. We were supposed to come spoken word children. That's why we're heading back to that Son of Man, where God's going to start living among humans. In you. That's the transforming power of God. I'm not here to tell you that. I was talking to Brother Richard Wilson. We were talking about this. And he said, and it's true, we're God. Amen? But don't get confused with us being the big G. Remember what Brother Dale Hall, don't get us confused with being the big G. He made us little G's. But the only way we can be a little G is to be connected to the big G. And then the way he sees it is no different. They're together because that's what we came from. That's the source of that fountain that comes in. But listen, here's my point. Did the Son of Man ever make a mistake in his doctrine? When Jesus was on earth, he never said, I didn't really mean to say that. Strike that from the record. Everything he said, Brother John, was perfect and eternal. Correcto. Amen. Think about it. Everything he said, his doctrine was always correct. But now he knew, though, coming and living in human beings, there was a filter he had to go through. Everybody with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is where you were going to understand why Luther could be a Trinitarian and still have the Holy Ghost. That was a little something in my mind I couldn't really get straightened out. I can now. Because the Son of Man can't make a mistake. He's an individual person. The only reason we're going to be that is because he said we were. He said we were. It didn't come through another preacher. He said, right? That we'd be the Son of Man in the end time. And Brother Branham just made it plain. Luke 17:30, all the scriptures. When the Son of Man's been what? Revealed. Where's it going to be revealed? Jesus is not coming back to the earth. His feet is not going to touch this earth till the millennium. Who's he going to work through? Human beings. That he's anointed and justified. That's where I'm getting to. Justified, where the just and the justifier is the same person. But you can't have false doctrine and claim the Son of Man ministry in the end time. Not one word, Brother Richard said. He said one word got them out. One word off won't get us back in. But you can live under the Son of God ministry, living in humans. God knew he has to go through a filter, though. He's got to go through the memory, reason, conscious, effects, and imagination to get to your soul. And you can let a demon get on you. Now listen, Son of Man, another thing. Let me back up a minute. Did a Son of Man ever have to say, I need to get rid of that. I got a demon on me. Did he ever say that? No, but every demon that came against him or came up to him, they said, we know who you are. We know who you are. We've seen you back in eternity. We've seen, oh, come on, somebody. We've seen you already. They were so spiritual, they could see past that flesh that the Pharisees couldn't see past his flesh. They thought he was wrong. They thought everything he did was wrong. But you can't make the Son of Man do something wrong.
Right.
He was just. He was just in what he said.
Amen.
And if we're claiming the Son of Man ministries back in the end time, we got to be that very same thing.
Amen.
We got to be a different group of people living among human beings who are dirty, rotten, filthy.
Amen.
But be as righteous as God is. Why do you think people under the Son of God ministry has to pass away? They have to die. I'm sorry. They don't have enough word to change their body. Don't get quiet on me. The only thing that took Jesus to death wasn't his false doctrine. It was me and you with our false doctrine. My false doctrine started when my mom and daddy got together. Born in sin, shaping iniquity. Brother Branham said you were trapped into it. We'll get into that a little bit more. But I want you to realize, if we're claiming, if we're shouting that the Son of Man ministry is here, it's got to be a ministry that's not wrong. It's got a ministry that is above and beyond human beings. Right. Come on.
Yes.
Right. Listen, the Son of God is eternal. So don't claim that Luther didn't make it. Luther made it. Yeah. Luther's just as eternal as you are. But he had some false ideas that God couldn't. Remember, the Holy Ghost, Brother Ram said, is the most timid person. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Any little something and... And I know that's not ever happened to any of y'all. Pray for me then. Yeah. Because we have a filter. He knew we were born in sin, right, shaping iniquity. He knew we'd have problems. He saw us already have those problems.
Right.
But he made a way to get out of it. But in the end time, we got to step it up a little higher. Remember, look right here, real quick. We received the Holy Ghost right here at the new birth. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Baby, newborn what? Babe in Christ.
Amen.
And I'm leaning down so you can see this. Not something wrong with my back. Now, this Holy Spirit is not different from this one.
Right.
But it is.
Amen.
This one right here has all these virtues sealed in. This one down here does not. But it's the same Holy Ghost. It's just working in a different capacity. Now, all right, is everybody with me? Brother Ram said, Son of God through seven church ages. Amen. Who's that? That's not the Son of God. I know it's hard for some of you young ones to see this, but that's not the Son of God. That's the Son of Man.
Amen.
The headstone is the Son of Man ministry in the end time.
Yes.
That has to cap off a group of people that have come here to hear. All right? I'm going to drop it right there. Are y'all feeling good?
Yeah.
Are y'all feeling good? Listen, I love being your pastor. I just kind of got that revelation about a week ago. then I lost it yesterday. And then, no, I'm just kidding. Paul, now, I'm not making myself Paul. There's no way. I am not a church age messenger. All right? You would think Paul would have this group of people that was just, I mean, when they walked in, the angels fluttering in the building. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on his face. Paul walks into the church of the Corinthians, and this is what he tells them. Everybody with me?
Right.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters. This is not petty thieves. It's some hard stuff. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Have I hit anybody yet? Nor revilers. This Paul's preaching to this group of people. He's in a Corinthian church preaching to his best of the best. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunk, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. Let's stand and sing a song and be dismissed. None of us made it. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. You are sanctified. Look, but ye are justified. Oh, wait, something happened. Something happened with all that up here at the top. Somebody come to a realization that the real them didn't do it. Now, they might have not have come to it there, but remember, this is for us. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, now watch, if any man draw back, if you can't believe that you're just as righteous as God is, if you can't believe that God can't clean you up, if any man draw back from this revelation, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You won't get the new birth. There's therefore now what? No condemnation. But we get condemned every day. But where do we get condemned from? Brother Danny, we get condemned from that guy right here. Amen. Stop condemning yourself. Right. If you're a child of God, stop it. Amen. But we are not of them. Oh. He separated us somewhere. Right. But you are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Oh, amen. Now, do you believe this? I said this the other day. Do you believe this? Now, Miriam and them looking back, Brother Brown said this on 1955, Water from the Rock. Saw that separation. Annihilated from their enemies forever. How long? How long was they going to be safe for? These Egyptians that you see today. Now, let me say kind of a panoramic. Here comes Israel across. Now, this is pretty daunting because the Red Sea is like, 75 or 80 feet deep. Are everybody with me? So there's a wall of water that's 80 feet high on both sides of you. And you're looking at it. And God overnight has dried you up a path, because how many of y'all have walked into a lake? Mud goes up through your toes, and it's pretty muddy anyway. Even when the water goes away, it takes a long time. God blew that thing off so much till it was nothing but like hard pavement. Amen. Their wheels didn't sink in the mud. He just said, come on. You're my chosen people. So they go through that thing, and they're all going through. I'm sure there's some Dathans and Korahs in there, the unbelievers. But they turn around and look, and there the thing's still open. And here comes the Egyptians. Here comes all them demons that you thought you had got rid of. I mean, chariots racing as fast as they can race. I like watching that movie. Ten Commandments. I mean, here they come, man. And they're going to destroy them, because here's couple million people up on a bank, Brother Danny, and they're standing there, and they're watching, and here they come. They're getting closer and closer. God's not doing nothing. Closer and closer and closer and closer. And then all of a sudden, Moses just takes his rod, and right before he sticks it in the water, he turns around and he says, these Egyptians you see today, these sins you see today, you'll never see him again. Amen. And I think he put forever. Amen. Justification. Chopped off their past sins. Got rid of their enemy. Not one, there wasn't one that drug himself up on the other side. There was not one of your sins. If you make sure that you put it in that sea, that you know you've been justified, there's not one going to come crawling up a couple of days later. They didn't reform the army on this side. No, it destroyed them. Amen. It destroyed them. They didn't come this way anymore. So what did the children of Israel do? They turned and walked for 40 years in sanctification to get rid of the old fighters, to get rid of the old part of them that had what? Disbelieved the whole time. Brother Ram said, look, these Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more forever. Amen. Put them in the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. That's what kind of God we have. Not goes and digs it up again and holds it against you. I forgot about it. So justification is your Red Sea experience. Sanctification is that 40-year journey to get rid of all the, what? All the demons. And then the Holy Ghost takes you into the promised land. Pretty simple. Standing in the gap, Brother Bram said, look, today he's the only mediator between God and man, and we're freely pardoned and forgiven. God don't even know we ever sinned. When are we going to start believing a prophet?
Amen.
Our sins were put in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered no more. We cannot do that ourselves. We are finite. We're sitting here today knowing we are finite people. We remember. If we don't remember the sin, devil makes sure we do. But look, he is infinite. And our finite, we can still remember because we're not big enough. I like what he said, we're not big enough. But he is so great that he even forgets we ever did sin. We are sons and daughters in his presence. All things that he was, we are. He became my sin that I might become his righteousness. He became your sin that you might become his righteousness. So God cannot see no sin in you as long as your confession is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Remember what Brother Brown told him? He said, don't come up here in the prayer line and have sin in your life. What did he tell him to do? Now you go back and 2 days later, you just make sure you pray for, 24 hours straight. He said, no. He said, you bow your head and you ask for God to forgive you your sins. He said, he'll put it under the blood and I won't be able to see it. And he won't be able to see it.
Amen.
Wow. What a mighty God we serve. Satan has made our sin so huge till he's got us bound. We got to loose ourselves from that. But we got to do it through the justifier.
Amen.
Let him tell us. Listen, remember, is he not our advocate?
Amen.
We'll get into that when we talk about the Holy Ghost. He's your advocate. What does your advocate do? It speaks for you.
Amen.
Let him speak for you. Satan comes at you, read what God's already wrote.
Amen.
Not only is our sins forgiven, but they are buried in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. For they are gone. They're out of the eyes of God. They're paralyzed. They're divorced. They're put away. God don't remember them no more. The church ought to rejoice this morning to know that our sins will no more be remembered. They are put in the sea of forgetfulness, into the grave of beyond any resurrection. Oh, let me ask you a question. If we are under the Son of Man ministry, did he have any sin? I'm going to cover that again. Did he have any sin? Huh?
No.
He didn't have any sin. Son of Man never sinned.
That's right.
Right.
Now listen, it doesn't mean that he didn't have a bad thought, though.
That's right.
Right. So, no, I don't. He called Herod an old fox.
Right.
He made a few comments that were, he actually was thinking as a human.
Right.
He had to be human, folks.
Right.
But there was something inside of him that we're supposed to have in us today.
Come on.
Right.
That takes care of that.
Amen.
He decided this, we didn't.
Amen.
And if he decided it to work this way, guess what? It will work this way. He'll find somebody that will live by faith and nothing else. They are dead forever, forgotten about. They are as if they had never happened. You want me to prove that? Revelation 6, verse 9, and we'll close. This is the greatest. This is the fifth seal. Now, Brother Branham, when he was studying this, if you'll look in the first part of the fifth seal sermon, he said, this is beyond what I thought. See, remember, he thought these were souls under the altar. Come on.
Right.
Brother Brown thought that those were the souls under the altar. Saints.
Right.
Under the altar.
Right.
What did the Holy Spirit tell him? Because remember, the Son of Man had to be prevalent during that whole week. That's why he said, I've never worked in this realm like this before.
Right.
He's seen the Son of God heal, raise the dead, tell people where they live, but never has he seen something come on the scene so much and tear everything he thought was right tore it apart and said, this is it. Why did he get over to different places like thank God for the opening of the seals? We got marriage and divorce. Thank God for the opening of the seals. Serpent seed. Thank God for the opening of the seals. All these things, he went right back to the opening of the seals. Why? He'd read them 1,000 times. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Now look, souls. All right? These souls were put in a place of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now we know who this is. This is the 5th seal Jew. The martyred Jews that didn't even like Jesus at all. Never testified about him. Never said he was their savior. Hello? They were Jews. They got killed in the slaughter just because they were Jews. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge? See, they knew he had to be a righteous judge and avenge our blood. So right there, the Holy Spirit said, come on, Brother Branham. Come on, prophet. That's not a believer. That's not a born-again believer, because they would be saying, have mercy. He said, avenge our blood on him that dwell on the earth.
Hallelujah.
And white robes were given. They didn't accept it. They didn't even want it. Come on. They were just 6 million Jews that died because they were Jews. Hitler loosed that 200,000 demons out of the river Euphrates onto that group of people and killed them. And God, being a righteous judge, knew what he was doing. You know why? I'll read it to you in just a second. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants, what? The 144,000 that's living right now, should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now, they didn't want it, but God gave it to them. Now, we can't pull that because we're not Jews. This is why. Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Paul's telling us this is a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. All right? If God didn't see, hear me out. He saw a Gentile bride that wanted him more than Israel did. Come on. He'd have never took that Daniel 70 weeks and pulled it apart and literally blinded his own people so that you and me can come in. But being a righteous judge, he had to give them eternal life because he blinded them. So when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, guess what? He's going to lift his hand off of their eyes. They're going to see who? First thing, immediately, they're going to see the Messiah through two prophets. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, that it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. Listen to this sixfold purpose, and we'll, musicians, come on. We'll finish the rest of this later on. There's some more of this. When Brother Brown comes to the invisible union, he's 1 month from being killed in a car wreck. He preaches in Shreveport, Louisiana on Thanksgiving Day. He says, this is my Thanksgiving Day message to you. That you're the virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. You didn't do it. You didn't do it in the first place. You were trapped into it. Watch this. That's where they done it. He was making the end of sin for them. Who? The Jews. How could he do anything else but forgive them, knowing he had to blind their eyes so that we could come in? It's like his own children calling for his blood. Remember, they said, let his blood be on us and our children. That's the reason he cried for forgiveness for them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They were blind. For our sake, they were made blind. So God had to be just. The greatest gift of justification. When you were out in sin, did you want God to forgive you of your sins? You didn't care. I just tell you right now, you didn't care. There was nothing good in any of us. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But thank God, God had a mind. And in his mind, he had a vision. But when God ever thinks of something in his mind, Brother Gary, it's got to come to pass. When he saw that a Gentile bride was going to love him more than Israel, he had to pull that 70 weeks apart, slap a Gentile bride in there that would love him and cherish him and be his mate. But he's not going to forget Israel, though, because he's going to come right back and save that group over here. And he's going to save this fifth sealed Jew. Listen, when they died, they were looking for a Messiah. Come on. They were looking for a Messiah. They didn't know he was already here and had already left. Everybody with me? They're buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Let's stand. Think of a sea of forgetfulness. God cannot remember them no more because they were both dead and buried. It cannot even be remembered no more. They're out of God's memory. Now here, I'm going to read you this real quick. Look up the word, Brother Brown said. This is invisible union. The word don't mean forgiven. The word means justified. It don't mean you're forgiven. For instance, you heard I got drunk and done some evil thing and everything. And you come around and say to me, you found out I didn't do them. Are you going to say, Brother Brown, I forgive you for that? Forgive me for what? I didn't do it in the first place. Brother Brown, I forgive you. Forgive me. I didn't do it in the first place. Now, if I did it, I'm guilty. Anybody with me? But you could forgive me and I wouldn't be guilty. But yet I'm not justified because I actually did it. But the word justified is though you've never done it. Listen, that's the revelation revealed under the seals. That's the whole revelation of underneath that seal is to show us that right there. It's not even regarded at all. In God's book of sea of forgetfulness, your old book and marriage is divorced and dead. It's not even in the memories of God. So why do we let stuff beat us up for? Because the devil has one foothold on us, and that's our mind up here, not our heart. He has right here. He can play. Greatest battle ever fought. All right? Remember, it's not down here if you're born again. It's up here. Amen. You are justified. Therefore, being justified, it was accused. You were accused. You never done it in the first place. The old union is in the sea of forgetfulness. Now, remember, the old union, there was an old union. You were born in sin. But you got to realize, as Brother Brown says right here, you were trapped into it. You never sinned it in the first place. God don't even know. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser, but really from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son and daughter of God. You're standing there washed, and your old book of divorcement is put away and dead. Absolutely. When are we going to start believing what Brother Brown said? Amen. He's quoting the Bible to us. Those he's justified, he's already glorified. Now, if you try to justify yourself, you'll never get to that. But he who is, he has justified, he's already glorified. You're standing there washed and your old book of divorcement is put away, dead, absolutely out of existence. Even in the mind of God, you're the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless son of God, standing with a pure, unadulterated bride word. Let me give you a little secret. That's not in another dimension. That's going to happen right here in this dimension. It's going to be real easy to think that maybe we can pass on and we get a glorified body and we in heaven. He's talking about right now. That's his Thanksgiving message to us, that it's going to happen right now. Not that it's going to be somewhere else. Oh, I'll just wait. What are you waiting on? That he washed by the water of his own blood that become flesh and manifested, that he might take you which were predestinated in the bosom of the Father before the beginning, the same as he was. He was that great attribute of God called love. stop right here. This will be it. Paul comes to the end of his journey. He went through the things I would, I shouldn't. I've done this. I've persecuted the Christians. I don't feel righteous. I don't this. I don't that. He comes down to the end of his life. He said, look, whatever's happened, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. Henceforth, there's laid up for me. Me. Paul was pretty positive. He said, not for my congregation, for me. He come to a revelation that he was going to get a crown. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now watch. Paul could have just went off the scene and that would have been it. Nope. He included me and you. And not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing.
Amen.
Have we seen his appearing? Yeah, he's appeared in many forms. But he's come to dwell in a group of people that are the virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
All ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Life and mercy in his name, Jesus, light of the world.
Sing it to him. Now who's supposed to be the light?
We'll
you are.
In the light. Of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, hear the Savior's earnest call. Jesus, the light of the world.
How's he going to send it? Through me and you. Send. You need to get somebody. We couldn't get ourselves out of any of this. We just make a big mess of it. But when give it to him and let him do it. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day. Jesus, light of the world. Let's come confess him as your king. Jesus, the light of the world. Then the bell of heaven will ring. Oh my, when you see him, it'll do something for you.
We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. It's not two or three different Holy Ghosts. It's not two or three different Jesuses. That mystery of iniquity, as Brother Bob was preaching not too long ago, when you see that first seal open, you see one God. Because when you see one God, there's no other God before me. There's no other God behind me. There's no other God riding on that horse. He's right there. That's where he is. God's in his people, not in three different people. Sure, it's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But it's, as Brother Branham said, it was a dip. Luther had a dip of the Holy Ghost. Now, not a different one. It was the same water in the ocean, just a small dip. Wesley got a little bit bigger dip to be sanctified. The Azusa Street Pentecost, they got a pretty big ladle full. Because they had to go all over the world. But it denominated and died. But you and I, don't take a dip. We're the ocean. We're the ocean. We're the ocean from whence all that came from. God saved the best for last. We'll make it. We're going to get it done. And we're going to get it done together. We ought to know where we are and who we are and what we're doing here. That's a revelation. Because when you see that, then see, whatever you got harboring inside of you, that mystery, that iniquity is going to take off. That's what's going to drive the unclean spirits. Listen, Satan can't cast out Satan. So Satan can't come and say, get over, demon, I'm here now. No, they just both go to work on you. But when God walks in the door, somebody's got to move. Somebody's got to leave. Amen. You love the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. We sure appreciate you. Let's bow our heads and pray. We'll have regular service on Sunday. And then looking forward to the week coming up after that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all the things you've given us. Thank you for a group of people, Lord, that are here, Lord, not because, Lord, they want to be seen or heard or look at me, but, Lord, we come here to see you, Father. We come here to hear from you, Lord. And, Lord, I pray tonight that it's been given to each one of us, Lord, to hear what you have to say, what the Spirit says to the churches, Father. Lord, may that Holy Spirit just keep pounding the demons out. Just keep pushing them out. And, Lord, that we yield to you, Father, because we can't do it on our own. The prophet says we're no match for the devil, but when you come on the scene, Lord, we got to let you come to the forefront. And, Lord, I pray that's what we do from now on is, Lord, just strive to put you first in everything we do, Lord. We'll not lose if that happens. Lord, be with the ones that are sick, the wife and different ones, Lord. We ask you to just touch them, Lord, and make them whole. Father, Sister Johnny, Lord, I pray that you'd touch her body, Lord. Just be with her, Father. Give her a blessing, Lord, that she can't contain. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now, Lord, as we continue on our journey, Lord, that you'd be with us coming up on Sunday, Lord, that you'll bless us now on the road and highways to get home. Just be with each one in Jesus' name. Amen.